And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker where we have been found. I can't believe it. Who leaked the information of where Area 52 is? I think it was somebody in my own family that has turncoated on me and turned these people over. If you look behind me, look right through, let's see here, the little hole right here. Look right in here. That's Chris. And then look right through there. You can't see it. Anyway, that is Ashley. They are from Stunned Diego, California. That's how Jack Buck described it one time. Jack Buck was the KMOX radio announcer for the St. Louis Cardinals for years. I mean, this guy was amazing at calling baseball games, so much so, and you ask anybody in the St. Louis area, they'll tell you that they would go to Busch Stadium to watch the Cardinals play baseball. I used to do this. You go to Busch Stadium, watch Cardinals play baseball, and you carry a transistor radio so you can hear Jack Buck call the game while you're sitting there. But anyway, the Cardinals were playing San Diego in the playoffs one time. I think that was the year Ozzie Smith hit that blooper home run and won everything. But he referred to San Diego as Stunned Diego because they were supposed to win it all and we were beating them. Anyway, it's good to have them with us. Here they are. They are getting nuptialized tomorrow evening here at Bethel Church. For those of you from California don't know what that is. We refer to it as marriage, and I know that marriage is one of those concepts in California where it's like putting ingredients on a pizza. It's anything goes in California. But they are here, and they have snuck in back behind me. They promised that they were going to behave, and if they don't, I have a buzzer for them, and that'll mean that there are three of those, and they're on their way out. Anyway, good to be with you today. I have, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and make this announcement. I don't have it written down in my notes, but I thought about it, and I talked about it last night at our church service. I announced it for the first time. This has already been out on the radio in Watchman FM 91.3 KBTR in Samburu County, Kenya. I think we've already been announcing it on the air. By the way, welcome those of you who are listening in, our good brothers and sisters in Kenya. We love you very much. And this Sunday, it will be Sunday late afternoon for all of y'all. It will be about 10 o'clock in the morning here. That's normally when we start our Sunday school service here at Bethel Church. We are going to, here's what I did. Just about every time I go to Kenya, I leave a projector there. And I took my projector that I use for PowerPoints. I used to hook a laptop to it. Now I've gotten sophisticated. I hook up my iPad to it. And I took a projector when I went to Kenya. We were preaching in Tala, Kenya, and then we went to Migori. And I used it a couple of times out there, and my son-in-law, Michael, was looking at it. It was in the box. I was going to put it back in the suitcase, and Michael's going, "You going to leave that here?" And I'm going, "What for?" He's going, "So we can use it up at the radio station." And I'm going, "You're killing me. Every time I get a projector, somebody else wants it." So I left it. And Michael took it up to Maralal, where our radio station office is. And this Sunday, late afternoon, around 6 p.m., probably more along the lines of 5:45, but I found out with Kenyans, 5:45 is any time they want to be there. And that's a joke, by the way, which is actually true. But anyway, around 5:45 p.m., 6 o'clock p.m., Sunday afternoon, I don't know the street address, but I'm sure they're going to announce it on the radio. You'll be listening. We are going to stream our church service Sunday morning live over the internet airwaves. It's going to go up into a satellite and be beamed back down into Kenya. And those of you in town that evening will be able to watch our church service here in Festus, Missouri, United States of America, streamed live to you. And you'll be able to be part of our Sunday school time. I'm teaching on the mystery of God and what they call the rapture or the translation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Study those out because I'm going to be dealing with that Sunday morning. During Sunday school, and then we break, and then we have our morning worship service. We sing praises to the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to preach a message that I think God has already laid on my heart what to talk about. We've been talking about Saul and Solomon last Sunday, but we are going to be streaming that live, and we invite you out to come. It'll be out in the open. We're gonna have the laptop hooked up. We're gonna have the projector hooked up. You will be able to see it nearly in high definition. And, we are excited about that and looking forward to that. Those of you who are listening from all over the world, we want you to pray about that and pray that God will bless that, that God will use it, that Satan will not hinder it, and that God will use it, number one, to lead people to Jesus Christ. People walking up and down the street in Marilal, Kenya, will be having the opportunity to hear the gospel preached to them. So you pray for all, you know how it works. Anytime you want to use technology, the devil's going, well, I can pull the plug on that. He does it all the time, right at 12 o'clock, right as I'm getting ready to start. And so be praying about that. And all of these things, I'm going to say it once. I may say it again sometime in the future. You know that I don't use any of our programs, our live programs, our church services, or anything like that. I don't use any of them to ask anybody for money or for financial support or financial help. I have it in my mind that if God wants it done, He pays for it, and He lays it on people's heart. So the only thing I'm going to ask you to do is just ask God, do you want me to support this? And if God lays it on your heart, then do it. And if God says no, then don't do it, and don't send us your money, because we won't like it anyway. All right? Anyway, so be praying about that. I've got an email that came in from Marcella. And I'm going to deal with it right away very quickly. It's going to be very easy to deal with this. She says, or he or she, Marcella. Is that a guy's name or a girl's name? That's a girl. Good morning, Pastor. God bless you and fill your life and ministry with health, wisdom, and wealth and joy. I've been wanting to ask all these new names that people have for God, like Elohim and Yahshua and Yahuwah and Yah and Yahuvah and Yehovah and all the other variations. And people judge me because I still say Jesus and God. And my question is, Marcella, who are they that are judging you? And why are they judging you? And I know the answer. They think, because they have been told, although not in the scriptures, they've been told by somebody that unless you say the secret magic pronounced correctly name of Yahuwah or Yahweh or Yahoweh or Yahowah or Yahshua or Yahushua, they don't even agree on how to say it. Unless you say the name the right way, you're going to burn in hell for all of eternity, which I'm going to correct that. I'm finding out that a lot of the Hebrew roots people and sacred name people don't believe in the same hell that my King James Bible teaches. They don't believe in it. I was looking at a Facebook post last night, and boy, I wanted to dive into this thing. I tell you what, I wanted to, there was some woman on there that has been illuminated. She has had her mind enlightened. She used to read those English pagan translated scriptures. She used to read that and believe what it said. But now her mind has been enlightened. She now knows the secret Hebrew words. And she studied the secret mystery language of Hebrew, and she studied the word hell in the secret mystery language of Hebrew, and now she believes that God is sending her out to set everybody free from the false pagan, Mithraic, Zeus-worshipping doctrines that are in your King James Bible about hell and about how you will be punished forever in the lake of fire. She's going to set everybody straight and tell them that it's not true, that that's not the original Hebrew meaning of the concept of hell. This is what you get into when you decide on your own that you have a license to retranslate the Bible, even though you don't know the language. You don't know it. All you're doing is looking up words in a concordance like a fourth grader does. That's all you're doing. You don't know Hebrew. You don't know Greek. But you've decided that you're going to be smarter than everybody else in the world, and you're going to redefine those words that are paganized in the English translation, and they use the word hell, and everybody, the people who need to be set free need to know that it doesn't really mean everlasting torture for all of eternity. This is the kind of stuff you get when you decide that you're going to fall for that stuff. And here's what I'm going to tell you, Marcella. God made it very, very simple for you. Open up your King James Bible. Read Genesis chapter 1. You can even say it out loud if you want to. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's that simple. And then turn to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 and read it. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And you will not die and go to hell for not saying God's name in the original Hebrew Yahuwah, whatever it is. That's not going to happen. You ask a question here about in the name of Jesus, even fake preachers talking about Jesus. And let me just say this. Romans 10 tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10 teach us that if we believe in our heart, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I've used this illustration before. Consider the thief on the cross. He was tied up. He couldn't move his arms, couldn't bend his knees, couldn't do anything in the world, but he could believe, and his mouth still worked, and he looks right at the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. His mouth has confessed that Jesus was his Lord, and he believes in his heart that God was going to raise Jesus from the dead, and he believed it before Jesus even died. He believed it. And I will see that thief on the cross in heaven when I get there. So, Marcella, don't let these people put you in bondage to a pronunciation type of gospel. Whereas if you don't pronounce it right, you're praying to the wrong God. God is, and apparently God is sitting in heaven so stupid, like a beast, that he won't respond until you say the name right. That's how animals do it. Animals won't respond if you don't say the words right. That's who they think God is, and that's not who he is. So, Marcella, I appreciate you sending that in. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 13. I've got some things here that I'm going to share with you today. We're going to look, it's picture day on Pastor Mike Online. We're going to look at pictures today. I do this every now and then. Pictures, every time I see them, I pull my handheld dual core processor computer and I take a picture of these things. Some of you send pictures in to me and I appreciate it. We're going to look a little bit at technology and how it's related to what we see in the Bible. I am still working on, I haven't actually started the script yet, but I'm working on the singularity that's coming. I will explain that as we get into the videos. I'll tell you what it is, We'll talk about it from a biblical perspective. We'll see exactly what the end game is. And this is really sort of what I'm delayed in, what I'm waiting on. I think I have a pretty good grasp of what the singularity is all about and when it happens, how it's going to relate to what we see in the Bible. But I want to make sure that I'm looking at it from the right perspective according to the Scriptures. And so that's just kind of what I'm just sort of waiting on the Lord right now. So you pray for me that God will give me at least sufficient understanding of what's going on as we approach that. In Revelation chapter 13, we have in verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He must be using the dragon, naturally speaking, software. And he had two horns like a lamb. Here's something you could do for your own personal study. You write this down. Go study all the places in the law where you find that there was a lamb sacrificed, a lamb or a goat that was sacrificed. This false prophet has two horns like a lamb. And remember what the symbolism of horns are. How do bucks, buck deer, how do they use their horns? For what purpose? And some of you may not know this. Deer shed their horns every year. After the mating season is over, what we call the rut, after the rut is over, those deer with those magnificent racks on them, they'll shed them. And they'll be gone. In the summertime, you'll see a deer with no horns, and you might think, well, that's a big old doe there. But it may not be. Maybe a buck deer. But what happens is they grow those back every year. Every year, they get a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger. And by the time the rut comes around, the mating season, usually in early November, which coincides with deer season, yes, we're out to kill their good times. When mating season comes around, those racks are in full force, and those buck deer will use those horns to secure their territory, to secure their mating rights with the doe deer, but they will use those horns to enforce their ground or enforce their territory. Rams do the same thing. Bulls do the same thing. They don't use their tail. They use their horns. And when you look at horns in the Scripture, you'll see that it carries that same idea. The strength of a unicorn. And we talked about that in Mystery Creatures of the Bible. The unicorn will use that massive horn on its head to get its way and to enforce whatever it is that he's got to enforce. The false prophet has two of them, and you could look at it like this. In our Lamb, Jesus Christ, Old Testament, New Testament, first coming, second coming, the two witnesses, Jesus witnesses the first time at his first coming, he witnesses the second time at his second coming. The false prophet would then be the opposite of that. He's got false witnesses that attest that he is using false words, feigned words, the Bible says. They will with feigned words make merchandise of you. And he's speaking, Peter's talking about that, and Jude's talking about that, of the false prophets that rise up in the last days. They're going to use feigned words. And they're going to use those words to bring you or to force you into submission or to force you into a decision that you're going to make. This is one of the things that I've tried to be very careful over the years in conducting any of our church services, is that I realize that I have the power of a big mouth. And I could probably talk or coerce people into coming down to the front of the church, bowing down, making this profession of faith and then believe that this person saved, this person believes they're saved, and it's all done because I talked them into it. I wouldn't let up. I just kept going and going and going. I've seen evangelism done that way. Evangelism where you take some person and you just won't let up until finally they give in and they make this profession of faith. My question is, who talked them into it? If the preacher or whoever talked them into it, I'm not so sure that the Holy Ghost was in on it. But I can tell you that if the Holy Ghost talked them into it, they're in. And so I have to be careful about using the force of my mouth to try to convince people of what I want them to be convinced of and just let the scriptures do the talking. In this case here, the false prophet, those horns that are on his head, I believe represent his ability to bring people to a conclusion or draw them into a decision. And I'll kind of show you how I think that works here in just a little bit. But he has two horns like a lamb. He exercises, verse 12, all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast, whose deadly wound was healed. We talked about that in the Pure Bible study that came out yesterday. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles, Benihin, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, faith healers, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. That is precisely what God warned about in Deuteronomy chapter 13. He said, if a prophet or a dreamer of dream comes to you and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, and then listen to what he says now. Listen to what comes out of his mouth, because then you're going to know whether or not he's from me or not. He's going to tell you, let's go after these other gods. And you would think, well, there's no way we're going after other gods. You just hang on. Because we know from the scriptures, and I dealt with this in the Watchman broadcast that is coming out this weekend on the falling. We know that a third of the angels are going to get their tails kicked out of heaven, and they're going to fall to the earth. Now, the New Age movement is trying to convince you that these ascended gods, these ascended masters, are going to come down to us. They're going to come down to us on purpose and try to bring us into a New Age of peace and enlightenment. But that's not the truth. They got kicked out of heaven, and they fall to the earth, and there is going to be preachers and preacherettes that are going to convince everybody to go after these gods, and church people are going to believe it. That's being set up right now. The setup for the falling away is taking place right now. So they're going to get that. And why are all these churches and these Sunday school literature companies and these vacation Bible school companies and all these songwriters, why are they trying to get people to use their intuition and their creativity and their imagination rather than just reading the gospel? Remember, I can't remember how long ago it was, somebody sent me a copy of some children's Bible Sunday school program or VBS program or something like that. And it had a little space in there where it said, now you imagine you on one side of a vast ocean and imagine God on the other side of a vast ocean and you wanting to be with God and God wanting to be with you, but you're separated by this ocean. Now imagine God building a bridge over that ocean so that you could walk over to him. And I went, hold on, stop right here. We don't have to imagine that scenario because it's already been given to us in the scriptures, word for word, when God led the children of Israel from one side of the ocean to the other, but he never built a bridge to do it. Never did. He opened up the channels of the water. See, they walked across on dry ground. There was no bridge. But all of this New Age movement talks about imagining a bridge that God is going to build. And I'm telling you, that's a setup. But it's all about the imagination, because once they start imagining these things and visualize these things, then what's going to happen? Genesis chapter 11 kicks back in place what people imagine that they can do. That's exactly what they're going to do. I've got an article I want to show you, to show you just how dangerous the world that we live in right now is becoming. And I believe it's all in an effort to set up the transformation that's coming of people receiving the mark in their right hand, their forehead. So at verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Think singularity. Here it is, this dead image that has hands but cannot move them. It has ears but it cannot hear. It has a mouth but it cannot speak. It has eyes but it cannot see, legs, and it cannot lift itself up. That's what God said in the book of Psalms. So now think about technology being able to give something that is lifeless, being able to give it life. That's what the singularity is all about. It's about making this little massively powerful computer that we use every day and awakening it with the right technology and the right software and the right algorithms so that it becomes alive. It reasons and thinks and is self-aware, and it speaks. That's where I think the singularity is headed. That's where I think it's going. So then, in verse 16, and he causeth all. Underline that in your Bible. It's a cause. He causes everybody. He brings about a scenario, or a set of scenarios, a set of synchronicities taking place whereby people, just like cattle in a cattle chute, if you don't know what that is, I don't know if I can help you, but when you've got a herd of cattle and you all want them to go to the same place so they can get an inoculation or some kind of whatever, if they can get branded, or in the some cases where they can slaughter them, you've got to bring them all down the cattle chute. Once they're in the chute, you can do whatever you want to with them. And I see what the false prophet is doing is getting everybody voluntarily, never against their will, voluntarily stepping into the cattle chute to get the mark. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. There's that number six there. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, so that, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of the mark, or the, there's three things here, mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So we know that we're dealing with issues of buying and selling. We know that we're dealing with commerce, and right now, commerce is done electronically. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. But here's an interesting article, and I'm not going to read every word on this thing. It's, I don't know, it's about 17, 18 pages long. But I posted this on my Facebook. Let's see if I can point to it right there. www.facebook.com/PastorMikeOnline. And you can read the article for yourself. But here's what it's called. 10 horrifying technologies that should never be allowed to exist. And when I pulled this article up, let me see if I still have it, because there's a picture on here. You know what? I got to show you the picture. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to Google the article. If I can remember, let's see here. 10 horrifying tech. No, here we go. Here it is. I got to show you this picture. Yeah. Oh, there's a good one. Here is, I remember that one. Here is an article from Time Magazine. It says, never offline. It's got all this technology right in the palm of their hand. Is that, yeah, it is. It's a right hand, isn't it? That's, here we go. Dun, dun, dun. All right, very good. Now you've got to see, you got to see this thing. Let me pull this up here. Here's the graphic that they used for this. See this right here? These are the four horsemen with the alpaca lips. Or excuse me, the apocalypse. The four horsemen right here. The article is 10 horrifying technologies that should never be allowed to exist. Here's the problem. They already do. Number one, weaponized nanotechnology. Do you know what nanotechnology is? It is technology invented and brought to us by Mork from Mork. Nano. It is, and they asked me what was in my cup, and I told them, none ya business. And but anyway, weaponized nanotechnology is we have the ability to make these little teeny tiny little robots that are smaller than what the human eye can see. In many cases, they have to be seen in a microscope or under a microscope. But these nanobots and nanotechnology, to me, and this is at the top of the list, and I think it should be. I think that nanotechnology will end up being one of the worst catastrophes. If you just take and act like nothing in the Bible exists, let's just take God and Jesus coming and the beast and eternal damnation or eternal pleasure in heaven. Let's take all of that off the table. And just look at nanotechnology, and here we are making these very, very smart, intelligent creatures and turning them loose in a world where nobody can see them when they're there. But they are deadly. You remember, did you see... What was it? Keanu Reeves. It was a remake. Day of the Earth Stood Still. Those little nanobots that came off that giant robot, basically they ate a little bit and they reproduced, and then they ate a little bit and they reproduced, and they ate a little bit and they reproduced. And then all of a sudden now you have this massive swarm of these things flying all over the earth, just destroying everything in its path. Nanotechnology. Here's the article says, nothing could end our reign here on earth faster than weaponized or severely botched molecular assembling nanotechnology. It's a threat that stems from two extremely powerful forces, unchecked self-replication and exponential growth. A sufficiently nihilistic government, a non-state actor or individual, could engineer microscopic machines that consume our planet's critical resources at a rapid fire rate while replicating themselves in the process and leaving useless byproducts in their wake, a residue futurists like to call gray goo. Now, I want you to think about the possibility of that happening, and the truth of it is, we're already developing that exact technology. Nanotechnology that will have the ability to destroy just about everything. Number two, conscious machines. It's generally taken for granted that we'll eventually imbue a machine with artificial consciousness. We're getting close. We're getting close. But we need to think very seriously about this before we go ahead and do such a thing. But the problem is we're not going to think about what the damage is, what the possibilities are. All we're doing right now, all we're doing is we're in imagination mode because that's where we've been taken. We are in imagination mode, and as mankind imagines what he can do, he never stops to think whether he should do it or not. He just imagines that he can't. It's just like children. Once it enters the heart or the mind of a child to jump up and down on their bed, the thought never occurs to them that probably they shouldn't be jumping up and down on the bed. Never enters their mind until mom or dad enters the room. And then we make it enter their mind of what could happen. They still don't get it. But at least you got them off the bed. But they don't care. Jump on the bed. Jump up and down on the bed. Number three, artificial superintelligence. As Stephen Hawking declared earlier this year, artificial intelligence could be our worst mistake in history. Indeed, as we've noted many times before here in this, what place is this? IO9? We've come from the future. I guess that's the website. I need to look at that website. It's interesting. The advent of greater than human intelligence could prove. Let's see here. What is it going to prove? I missed a page here. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. I can't find it. Anyway, number four, time travel. And by the way, we're already working on artificial superintelligence. Already working on it. And we're going to go all the way until we get there. Have you seen Transcendence? Movie that just came out. I did. And it's about exactly that. It's about a man who decides he doesn't want to die. He wants to keep on living. So they've already been working on how to put an animal's brain or consciousness into the computer. So they decide to do it with him. Now he awakens. His body has died, but he awakens. He's in the computer. He's part of the operating system. And the first thing that he wants, the first thing that he wants is an internet connection. First thing he wants. Because then he starts pulling in this massive amount of data from all over the world. And I won't tell you the rest of the movie. You've got, if you are so inclined, go take a look at it because that's where it's going. Number four, time travel. You say, well, I don't believe in that. That's a bunch of science fiction stuff. Really? So is nanotechnology and superhuman computers and artificial intelligence. That was all science fiction. I used to read a lot of Ray Bradbury in my younger years. A lot of his short stories, a lot of Fahrenheit 451 I read, and it's really interesting. Ray Bradbury, and I'm assuming he wrote this story back in the late 50s, early 60s, somewhere around in there. But here is Ray Bradbury, and he visualizes a time in the future where, number one, everybody walks around with these little seashell-like objects in their ears, and they're constantly listening to music and information broadcast over the airwaves. I mean, constantly. This was written at a time when most radios were these big console things sitting in people's living rooms. But he visualized a time in the future where people would be annoyed that someone was trying to talk to them when they had the music going on in their ears. And I'm going, yeah, that's pretty much, in fact, That's me. And then he visualized television shows and TV production where a TV show, if you had the money, the goal of the standard household was they had walls for TVs where the TV would encompass an entire wall. And the goal, if you saved up enough money, was to have all four of your walls in your living room a giant, massive television screen that would be like a surround thing. How big are TVs being made right now? Right now, almost wall size. And we're not complacent with that. We're now getting into 4K delivery, which is the amount of pixels that can be seen on the screen. They're getting bigger. The definition is getting clearer. And there will come a time when your entire wall will be this television. Anyway, these are the things that people were dreaming up. The science fiction writers were dreaming up back then that the scientists are going, I wonder how we can do that. Time travel. Is it possible? I've dealt with this in the Watchmen broadcast. I think that when Hezekiah asked for the shadow on the solar clock to go back 10 degrees, I think that they went back in time 40 minutes. That's what I think happened. And I see things in the Bible that lead me to believe that there's something. And remember, the Antichrist, the beast in the book of Daniel, will think to change what? Times. And God is actually going to give them into his hand. He's going to think to change times. So look at it. Time travel. I'm not actually much of a believer in time travel, but I will say this. If it's possible, we will want to stay away from it. And I can tell you that those people at CERN, the Large Hadron Collider, and probably other places that we have no idea exist, are working on that very thing. Number five. The first four things, we're already working on it. We're on it. We got a team on it right now. We'll have this ready in about, I don't know, 20 years. But once we figured out how to do it in 20 years, we're going to go back and we'll have it ready in about 5 minutes. How's that? Number five, mind reading devices. The prospect exists for machines that can read people's thoughts and memories at a distance and without their consent. This likely won't be possible until human brains are more intimately integrated within the web and other communication channels. So in other words, it's already in the works. We're already working on it, on the ability to read people's minds. And again, what is the why would you want to do that? What is the spiritual connection here? Remember, Lucifer wants to be like the Most High. The Most High, Jesus Christ, can already discern our thoughts. He already knows what we're thinking. Remember when Jesus was with all the Pharisees and Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus discerned their thoughts. He knew exactly what they were thinking. And when he would start talking to them about what they were thinking, they were going, how did he know that? How did he know that? How did he know we were thinking that? Well, it's because he's the Word of God, and the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to divide asunder even the joints and the marrow and the soul. It's able to get right into your mind and discern your thoughts. That's what the Word of God does. Is that true? Boy, every time I read it, I'm going, God, you wrote that just for me today. I can tell you that right now. Mind-reading devices, brain-hacking devices. Let me run through these very quickly. Brain-hacking devices. The more we start fusing, where is it? The more we start fusing this with this, you know as well as I do, somebody's going to hack into it. Somebody will hack into your brain. And make you think. There was another movie. See, this is visualized by the sci-fi people. What was it called? I don't remember. But anyway, these scientists developed this technology. They put this massive helmet on this person. with all these electrodes on it, and they had this specialized videotape, and they hit record, and the brain was sending all of the sensations to this videotape, and it was recording it. And then another person would put a helmet on, and they would replay that videotape, and that person would experience every single thing that was experienced by the other person, and it was all recorded on tape. It's being worked on right now. Brain hacking devices. What else? Autonomous robots designed to kill humans. DARPA. DARPA would be working on this. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. It's all for the defense of the American way. We're going to preserve the American way. We're going to design these robots that know how to kill human beings. See, that's going to be good. It's good. We're doing a good thing here. I've seen that movie. I've seen all of those movies. It never turns out good for the human beings. Weaponized pathogens is number 8. Again, already being worked on. Virtual prisons and punishment. They are working. I think I've talked about this. They're working on the ability. They can sentence a guy to 500 years in prison. And you and I both know that's never going to happen. He's never going to see 500 years in prison. They're working on the technology to put a helmet on a guy, jack into his brain, and over the course of a weekend, he would experience 500 years in a prison. Already being worked on. I think that's a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea. Then the last one, they have hell engineering. I haven't read this one yet. This one's quite similar to the previous item. Some futurists make the case for paradise engineering, the use of advanced technologies, particularly consciousness uploading and virtual reality, to create, oh, here it is, here we go, a heaven on earth. I don't want a heaven on earth. I don't want that. That dirties heaven. That's what it does. But if you can create heaven, you can create hell. It's a prospect that's particularly chilling when you consider lifespans of indefinite length, along with the nearly boundless possibilities for psychological and physical anguish. This is actually one of the worst things I can think of why anyone would want to develop such a thing is beyond me. It's yet another reason for banning the development of artificial super intelligence. And what he's saying is it's already being worked on. All of these technologies. Now I'm going to get back to this nanotechnology thing. You contemplate all of the things that could possibly go wrong or go bad with it. You just think about all of these things that could possibly go wrong with nanotechnology. And then here's what I want to show you. Let's see here. Let me pull up. It's going to be picture day here. Here we go. Right here. Let me show you this. Let me push this button. And these are pictures that I've taken. Different things, different advertisements, ways of getting you. The advertisements cause you to think a certain way. Whether it's you want a cheese. Oh, by the way, today, did you know what today is? National Cheeseburger Day. It's National Cheeseburger Day. And see, if I said cheeseburger, hot, juicy cheeseburger with tomato and crisp lettuce on a toasted buttered bun, two layers of beef, two layers of cheese, ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, special sauce on there. Everybody right now is going, man, I wish I had a cheeseburger. See how it works? See how it works? Okay. I didn't even use visuals. I'm just telling you, wouldn't you like to have a fresh, hot, juicy cheeseburger? I would. I think Hardee's, this is why I know this, Hardee's here, or it's, what is it in California? Carl's Jr. They are, which used to be the old Burger Chef. That goes way, 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 way back when I was a kid. Burger Chef had the best deal in the world going. They had a works bar. You could order just a plain hamburger and take it over to their little bar, and you could put as much tomatoes, onions, pickles, lettuce, mayo, ketchup, all the stuff that you want. You can put as much on there. They didn't stay in business very long. I don't know why, but anyway, that was the old Burger Chef. So now they're the Hardee's and the Carl's Jr., and you can go over there and get a third pound cheeseburger, and I think you get another one free. You could eat two of them. Two-thirds of grease and fat trickling down your throat. Tempting, isn't it? But they use advertisements to get you to think and get your mind to process a certain way. This is why, let me read you some Bible here. Go to Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 4. Let me go back here. Here's what our Bible's telling us, how our mind works. Remember, the Bible teaches us that as Christians, we are renewed in knowledge. That means we've had our brain washed. We've had our old way of thinking done away with by what's in the Word of God. And so we have Paul teaching us, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, no, it starts out with true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Renewed in knowledge, and here is eight things, and eight is the number for renewal, for starting all over again. Think of eight people on the ark coming off Genesis chapter 8 into a new world. That's the image that you get here. Noah, the eighth person coming off the ark. He is a brand new person. You are a new creation in Christ, and God wants you to think in a new way according to his word. And if you look at these things, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, name one thing in this world that's true 100% of the time and never wrong. Well, that'd be the Bible. Whatsoever things are honest. Again, name something in this world that's honest and never lies. That'd be the Word of God. Number three, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely, good report, virtue, any praise. All of these are references to the Word of God. So if you want your life changed and you don't have the ability to change your thinking in yourself, don't believe these false prophets of these last days. I had made some notes on a video interview that, what's his name? Joel Osteen and his wife was on there. And then Joseph Prince was talking about the paradigm shift. That repentance is all, it's all about a paradigm shift. You change your thinking. I don't have that ability. The Word of God, however, does have the ability to change my thinking for me so that my mind is aligned with the Word of God. But that's God's deal. He wants you to get into the Word, abide in the Word, read the Word, think of the Word, meditate on the Word, think on these things, and all of a sudden now you're thinking the way God thinks. That's what you're doing. So here, just think of the opposite now. And the Bible doesn't have any secret hidden doctrines that if you count every third letter in this sentence, you're going to find this new secret doctrine. Doesn't have that in there. Don't believe that stuff. Because when Jesus comes to you, he comes through the front door. That's how you know it's Jesus. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I'm not trying to slip in the window. I'm not trying to come up through your air vents and bring something in. I'm coming in through the front door. You know what the front door is? It's right through your two eyes, your two ears, the entry points into your brain. Jesus said, "That's how I'm coming to you. I will be plain and in sight. You will know that it's me because I'll be standing at the door knocking. And if you open the door, then I will come into you. But if you don't open the door, I'm going to stay out here." There is no Jesus that kicks the door in or that slips in some other way. That's not how he works. And so that's why when I believe that when I'm reading this Bible, I accept it for exactly what it says. I did experiment a little bit. 1998 and a half, somewhere around in there. I thought maybe there was some equidistant letter sequences in the King James. Ooh. Nope, doesn't exist. And don't let anybody tell you that either. Don't let anybody tell you that stuff about the Hebrew Old Testament either. I think it's a setup. Because you know why? God and his doctrine come right through the front door to your mind. He gets permission first, then he comes in. But Jesus taught us the thief comes in some other way. See, I'm looking at you right now. I'm staring right at you. But I can see in the corner of my eye, my finger over here. Okay? That goes on all of my waking time. My brain is taking in what's going on around me, even if I'm not consciously aware of it. But my brain's taking it in. Let me illustrate how this works as we look through some of these images. Nano. Look at the word here. Imagine. Imagine and discover a world you can't see. Ooh, that's nanotechnology. Now watch this. Okay. Here's the Nanotechnology Center. Look at the image. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And what are these little spikes here? You know what that looks like? What does that look like? Crown of thorns. Dun, dun. Now, in case you think, they're designed. They had their graphic artists do that, dude. You know, that's no big deal. Okay, hang on a second. I'm not going to do this. I'm not set up for it. Don't have a deck of cards. But I watched David Blaine one time. You know, the street magician, and he had a deck of cards. And he put it in front of the camera and he said, "Now I'm going to flip through this deck of cards here and I'm going to just flip through them real fast. And I want you to just kind of latch on to the first card that you see. And I want you to remember that card." And he said, I'm going to do this for everybody that's watching. And I promise you, I'm going to pick the card that you picked. And I'm going, "Yeah, right. Go ahead. How's he going to do that?" So he flipped through the deck and I went, Queen of Hearts. I got him. So he does this magic trick, and all of a sudden, on the inside of a storefront window, on the inside of, and I know how he did that, on the inside of the window is the Queen of Hearts. And I went, "Oh, how did he know that I was going to pick that one? That's like, I think he's magic. I think..." But then I'm going, "No, wait a minute. How is it that everybody in the world that watched this picked the same card? How did that happen?" So I rewound it. And I watched it again about 25 times. And I went, "Ah." What he did was he had a deck of cards. And it was all in random order. But what he did is he flipped through this. He put from another deck another Queen of Hearts. There were two Queen of Hearts in this deck, back to back. So when he flipped through them, the only image that your eye caught was the Queen of Hearts. And I went, that's how he did it. That's cool. That's how your mind works. You know what he did? He forced me to pick that card. No, wait a minute. I'm going to say that differently. He caused me to pick that card. And I and everybody else that watched that show picked that same card. That's what this is. This is causing you to favorably perceive of this and this. That's what he's doing. That's what the false prophet is doing. Here's another version of it. Tennis shoes. See how they're all linked together? Six and six and six. Let's see here. I don't remember why that's in there. Oh, here we go. This article on Engadget. I saw this on Flipboard. You should get Flipboard. Flipboard's a cool app. Peter Molyneux wants more from virtual reality than what's available. Look at what he says. I just want to make a world which I can be a god in. Jokes developer Peter Molyneux, a San Francisco whatever. Imagine being able to make and construct a world under your own rules. That's what virtual reality is bringing. Here is a company called Magix. I used to use their software. And their symbols. And they haven't used this symbol until recently. Magix Video Pro X6 is the newest and latest innovation software that they have for video production. And that's their symbol. Here's another one. This is a gaming peripheral company called Razer that's moving into the virtual reality market. Do you see the sixes, the triple helix? Do you see, what is this creature here? These are serpents twined together like DNA with three strands in it. Here's another one. This is called Muse. You know what that means? It means to ponder. Ponder the image. These are all sixes here. Hexagons joined together. Microsoft's and their new cloud thing. You know what this is? Earth, wind, fire, and water. I went to see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. Did you see it?
No.
The four turtles, earth, wind, fire, and water, have regenerative properties in their blood. And the evil bad guy wants to take their blood of the reptilian amphibian guys and use it to regenerate humans so that humans become gods. Taking it out of the four, earth, air, fire, and water, and the special thing that is in their blood. That was in X-Men Wolverine movie. Wolverine has something in his blood that makes people live forever, and this guy wants it. Think about all of the movies where there's something special in some person or a group of people's blood. Think about it. Okay. Fathom events. Fathom is where you conceptualize something. You're fathoming something. You're understanding it. Notice the six here, and six here. X-Men, Days of Future Past. Time travel. I watched just last week, Tom Cruise, Live, Die, Repeat, The Edge of Tomorrow. And you know what happens to him? He ends up fighting an alien that's in two parts. The first part of the alien is the Alpha. The other one is the Omega. The beginning and the end. The Alpha has the ability to travel back in time so they can know where the humans are going to launch the next attack and kill them all there. Tom Cruise gets killed by the Alpha as the Alpha dies, but he gets the Alpha blood in him. It's in the blood. Now he has the Alpha blood, and he goes back and he relives that day over and over and over and over and over again until he makes the change. That's what Groundhog Day was all about. Reliving that day until you make the change. That's what reincarnation is all about. But that's what the X-Men, Days of Future Past. Wolverine goes back in time so he can straighten everything out so the men with the mutant things in their blood, they can all live happily ever after. That's a picture of something. I don't remember what it was. This was on Google one day. Did you see that one? Here is probably another one of these videos, a video game called Terra. Here is Crest 3D White. Here's an hexagon here and one here and one here. 666. Here we go. Here's a water bottle. Three hexagons, 666. Why? Why does it have to be that way? Okay? It's getting you to make this decision, this choice. Here we go with the tennis shoes again. The hexagons. Why? Oh, that's golf clubs. Never mind. Here we go. Hurricane 666. Oh, this is a good one. Sparkling peach, sparkling lemon, sparkling grapefruit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's how they packaged it. They packaged it exactly that way. This is, again, you go to Sam's or Costco and you see this stuff everywhere. The big box stores, that's what you see. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I remember that one. Costco. Remember the gingerbread freak with the 666 on his forehead? That's a bum, bum, bum. Here's another one. Oh, this is very subtle. This one's subtle. Bisquick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six pancakes. And I could eat that. I could eat those six pancakes. I would have to have sugar-free syrup, which I have. Nestle, 72. I haven't dealt with that number yet, but I'm going to. You wait for it, all right? Multigrain crackers in the form of little hexagon communion wafers. Dove. Goes to hair's cellular level. You know what the cells are, right, in your body? It's your tabernacle. It's your temple. Every cell in your body is a picture of the wilderness tabernacle. And they're getting right to your cells. This is marketing for Little Miss Muffet, who sits on her tuffet, eating her curds and her whey. Here is a vino. Let's see here. There's the pentagram actually there. I'm trying to see if there's another reason why I took a picture of this other than the fives. Here we go. Oh, here's a good one. What does that look like? A leopard. Okay? That woman is a leopard. The Bible says, can the leopard change his spots? And remember what the beast looks like. He looks like a leopard. Why? Because of his spots. Spots, if you study spots in the Bible, you'll find out they don't have anything to do with dog names. They have everything to do with the spot of sin, the blemish of sin. That's why the beast looks like a leopard. Here we go. Members mark. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's a double one in here. 6, 6. Members mark. Here we go. Here's another one. Double wall tumblers. 6 in a box. Dentymore beef stew. There's 6 easy open cans here. 6, 6, 6. Same thing with chunky. 6 packs. Oh, there's a good one. Sparkling ice. You get 18 in a pack. 6 black raspberry, 6 orange mango, and 6 lemon lime. So, just like I was getting you to want a cheeseburger a while ago, now people are thinking sixes. Remember what Walmart's logo is next to their cash registers. Think six. And the employees will say, oh, that's just, you know, we've had training in this. We're supposed to think like put 6 things in a bag and so on. That's what we're supposed to, that's what that really means. Really? Then why is it out there for everybody to look at? Think six. Here's one here. The mandorla. See the opposites here? The way the letter E is shaped here. One pointing this way, one pointing that way. They are fused together. This could be east and west. This could be future and past fused together here with the mandorla. Here we go. It's another water bottle with sixes, hexagons all over it. Here we go. Paper shredders, sixes. A game on PlayStation, the Drive Club. Notice the hexagon, it's elongated, but you can also see that it's a fusion hexagon. It has 2 distinct elements to it, and they are opposites. They're polar opposites joined together. Planners, honey roasted peanuts. Actually, you will see one. You'll see, let's see here, the outline 1, the red 2, and the yellow 3. Sixes. This was interesting. Audio video monitoring, the all seeing eye. I don't remember where that was. Oh, some of you showed me this. This is Benjamin Netanyahu speaking at a conference called Birthright Israel. That's a bum, bum, bum. Somebody sent me this one. This is a screen capture. Call us at 66000666. McDelivery.co.in. I would say that's India. Am I right on that? Yeah, here it is. McDonald's India. Okay. And here's Bethel Church, which we are not affiliated with McDonald's in any way. Anyway, that's what's being marketed over there. This was from a movie, and I can't remember which one it was. Anyway, you have all these world leaders. You see the pyramid and so on. Here we go. This device, what is this device for? I can't remember. I saw this on Engadget. It's a Linux Ubuntu device that has, I forgot what it does, but it's some, this is some new startup, innovative startup company. This is actually a computer here running Ubuntu Linux, and it does something, and I can't remember what it does. But anyway, you see the, and these guys are wearing the company t-shirt. And I, and like I say, I don't remember what it was. If you know what that is, send me an email. This was from, what movie was this from? I want to say it was from Godzilla, but I don't think so. What movie was it? I don't remember, but this was like an alien ship that came down and landed, and this was the shell of the alien ship. Here's another picture of it here. Maybe this was the Transformers or something like that. I don't remember. But that's, you can see it there. Spin, a challenge for the mind is the ultimate throwback game. And you're manipulating these little hexagons here. Here's level one, 666. That's an app that my wife wanted me to get, and I did. Sprint Spark, there we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 would be there. And that's the divine spark. That's from the Kabbalah, Jim Staley. That's the idea. The concept of the divine spark is from the Kabbalah. This is the game, Project Spark, that you can play. Vera Wang. There's actually, if you look at this here, that's a swastika. You see it? Okay, there, 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 and there. And basically, it's an X chromosome with all these opposites in it. They're all fused together. Where was this from? I know where this is from. The latest movie in the Bourne series, Bourne Identity, Bourne Ultimatum. This one was Bourne Legacy. And it featured a guy that was in this CIA project that had, he was one of these special projects where he had his mind altered and his DNA altered for strength and regenerative properties. But he was having to take these pills every day in order to keep it up. He finds out that he can be what's called viraled out. And this is, I did a Pastor Mike online on this, where I talked about the ability of a virus. How do you change someone's DNA? You use a virus. That's what came out in this movie. And this was the image that was shown in that movie. And I'm just going, oh, I got you there. I know that. I saw this at the airport. And my wife's going, why are you taking a picture of that? Honey, you ought to know by now why I'm taking a picture of that. Okay? And by the way, if you've never had cake pops, don't die without eating cake pops. I'm just telling you. If you don't have diabetes, eat cake pops. They're the most amazing thing I've ever had in my life. Okay? Just saying. You know what that is? You know what that is?
The cards?
No. I'll give you a hint. Cod! It's from Star Trek, The Edge of Darkness, and it's a remake of The Wrath of Khan. And in this case here, watch this now. Khan is with 72 genetically altered humans, and Khan and all of these 72 genetically modified humans, 72 of them, they all have the regenerative properties in their blood. And in this movie, it's not Spock that dies, it's Kirk. But Kirk is brought back to life by using the blood of Khan that brings him back from the dead. Dun, dun, dun. And the 72 bodies are in these little missiles, photon torpedoes, that are stored on the Enterprise. Here's the number of one that you see. 666. You can't make this stuff up. Tennis shoes. Backward sixes. We looked at that. I think that brand of tennis shoes we've already seen. Here's Adidas Predator. That's a beast. See all the hexagons here. Here is an app called Pixotail, connecting people through visual storytelling with hexagons. Microsoft unleashes Settlers of Catan on the web. some little role-playing game or something like that that you play with hexagons. Let's see, BitTorrent's Bleep Messenger. I don't know why I had that in there. Here we go. Well, I don't remember where I saw this one. I think I saw that in Kenya. Anyway, you see the cube and the hexagon here. TD Jakes, instinct, the power to unleash your inborn drive. You know what that is? It's the doctrine that you have this thing leashed on the inside of you. It's in chains, it's in a prison, it's bound, and it wants to be unleashed. And TD Jakes calls it your instinct. And it's like your primal nature that wants to be unleashed. And I'm telling you, that is the no good thing that's in your flesh that the Apostle Paul talked about. And Jakes is selling you on the idea. I'm telling you, it's coming from all sides. The false prophets are just like the false prophet in Revelation 13, where they are causing all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to have this transformation take place because you have this primal nature on the inside of you, this beast that wants to be unleashed. And TD Jakes knows how to do it. He's going to help you with it. Here we go. Synchronicity Business Networks. Isn't that interesting? Shift. It's your money. Speaking of a paradigm shift, so that spend digital currencies, loyalty points, and regular money, all with the Shift debit card, so that no man might buy or sell, save they had the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Where was this from? Burning Man. The Burning Man gathering in the Nevada desert. This is the god that they worship. Isn't that interesting? Here we go. Be cool. Reuse at Aldi. 666666666666. I watched this movie, Divergent. I've not read these books, but it's basically, in the future. All of mankind, they all live in Chicago for some reason. All of mankind, they are divided up by what type of personality they're from. They all read Tim LaHaye. And if you don't know this, Tim LaHaye back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, I don't know if they're still doing it. Tim LaHaye and his wife, Beverly LaHaye, put out these little study guides for church groups. And in it, they identified four different character types of people. There was sanguine, there was melancholy, there was, I don't remember the other two. But basically, it was a psychology four-element way of teaching New Age doctrine inside the church. By telling everybody, well, you're a sanguine, so you're going to be like this, and this is who you really are. And I'm going, phooey on that. Why do I have to be stuck with what some New Age writer through Tim LaHaye tells me that I have to be? Why can't I be a new creature in Christ Jesus and be who Christ wants me to be? Because I can tell you, there are parts of my inborn nature that you never see. There are parts of my nature that God helps me overcome in order to do what it is that I do. I am not bound or stuck into a personality trait simply because Tim and Beverly LaHaye and all these other people think, well, you're a melancholy, or you're a sanguine, or you're this, or you're... I don't care. I know what I want to be in Christ, and I need Christ to help me with that. So who cares what I fit in? But anyway, these four groups. One is divergent of, a divergent has all four of them inside of them. And that means they can't be controlled. But everybody else gets controlled because they have the four personality types. And they associate them in the movie with earth, air, fire, and water. That's all I know of it so far. The American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. Notice their logo. It's a triple helix. Here we go. Saw that on TV. 33 different shades. Interesting. Assurant Solutions. See the logo here. It's a six is what it is. Triangle pointing up, triangle pointing down. Same thing there. I saw this at the airport in St. Louis, Missouri. Right as you get off your plane and head toward the baggage, that's right there. What else do I have here? Oh! What movie was this from? This was from, RoboCop. See the logo here? And RoboCop becomes RoboCop at this place right here. Now, there's writing on this wall that you can't really see, but they have these E's written out in such a way that, you know what, let's turn it around here. There you go. Now you know what it is. And that's how RoboCop becomes RoboCop at this particular scene in the movie, which I thought was really interesting. What else? Oh, this, I saw this in Kenya. They drink a lot of this stuff over there. Look at that. You know what that is? Go look on Google for the Orphic egg or the mundane egg or the world egg. And you'll see a serpent wrapped around an egg. And that's what that symbol is. Interesting. Spark, the kick scooter. Fusion, sport, the four-wheel carving scooter. I have no idea what a carving scooter does. But I don't think I would want to be around it when it was doing its carving. See the hexagon here, Fusion. Professional service for your gear. I think this was at Bass Pro or something like that. Personalized brain training, 666. Awakening conference. Look at that. Let's have an awakening conference. Everybody wake up. Let's awake that primal instinct on the inside of us. 666 is all in there. Oh, this one's pretty cool. Perfect fitting custom suits from your friends at Dragon Inside. Let me get it down here where you can see it. There you go. From your friends at Dragon Inside, you can have a nice suit. Ensure. Somebody sent me that. Two strands of DNA and then a third strand. Oh, this is pretty cool. I am Sturdam. I don't know what that means. I don't know what Sturdam is. I know it's Amsterdam. I am is God's name. It's applied to humans now. Here's a game, probably for iPhone and Android. You see it yet? You see it? Dun, dun, dun. There it is. Let's see here. ISIS. We'll carry your books, Enterprise Management Solutions for grades K through 12. That was a logo that Ileana made for me. What's it called? KJV and Corrupted Bibles? KJV Better Than the Rest? I like that one. Here we go. Mars Hill Church. Look at their logo. Six. Nuclear Security Summit 2014, The Hague, Netherlands. There we go. There's that symbol there. That's why they were all meeting around. The new Sprite 6 mix. Have you seen that one? Dell? I featured this in the Watchmen broadcast this week. It's coming out. Brand of tennis shoes called Fallen. And they use Baphomet's picture in there. Here we go. Spirit of Wonder. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the S looks like a snake, a coiled up snake. Leaders Who Love the Church. The Catalyst Conference is coming up. And the catalyst, you know what a catalyst is for? You know what a catalyst is for? It's what ignites things. You need a catalyst to make things catch on fire. The divine spark. Yeah, catalyst is all about transformation. And see the sixes here in the logo. Here is another one. Helping other people sell more stuff since 1999. See the logos here. Oh, by the way, his head's on fire. And he's got sixes all around him. What is this? This is some church with a triangle with the illumination in it. Youth for the Nations. That's what that is. Youth for the Nations. You see the triangles here. Pointed up, pointed down, yin and yang, male and female, sons of God, daughters of men. You have sixes everywhere. ISIS payment systems. We've seen that before. Hunger has no curfew. And you can't really see it, but these are all little hexagons here. I think that's at Jack in the Box. Here's another one here for tools. And you have to think, why are they using all of these things? Unlock the future. The key is the smart new season ticket for the Snow Hill Line. You need a key to unlock the future. Think of Revelation chapter 9. And the star falling from heaven. Here's some more of it. Hexagons. Ignite. EA Sports. Ignite. Simvastatin tablets. I forgot who sent me these. I don't even know what that is. See the six there? Genesis 6. Dun, dun, dun. Genesis. By the way, that would say, if you can't read it, Genesis Pharmaceuticals. Genesis 6. Mm-mm-mm. And we're back to that. All right. But that's the cause. The cause is out there causing people to think and align their thoughts so that everybody heads to the cattle chute. Everybody gets to the same place. So they get their mark in their right hand and their forehead. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it a bunch of times again. I don't think anybody is going to be dragged kicking and screaming to go get a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I don't think it's going to happen that way. Where is my other article? Here it is. This is what I wanted to, here's another one that goes along with it today. I've got several. I'm not done. We're just getting started here. Here's an article. This is on my Facebook page, Pastor Mike Online. Australian man who's had a microchip inserted into his hand so that he can do more with the iPhone. Guess what number it is? 6! A Brisbane man is living the life of the future after having a microchip implanted under his skin so that he can control electronic devices with that just a wave of the hand. Hi. Ben Slater had a radio frequency identification chip which has similar measurements to a grain of rice injected into his left hand through a syringe 2 weeks ago at Melbourne Tattoo Parlor. You see, it doesn't require this advanced medical technology stuff. This RFID chip is technology now that is so old that anybody can do it. You go to tattoo parlor, get this injected in your skin. It's no big deal. Now, This would bring the question, should Christians get tattoos? How about somebody make this sign? I want to get a tattoo for Jesus, said no Christian ever. And then have underneath it the book of Leviticus and wherever that verse is. It says, don't print marks on your skin. Don't do it. Or cuttings for the dead. Don't do it. God said, stay away from it. So he gets the RFID chip. I dug up, because I can remember all the way back in the late 90s, this company used to be called, the chip that they made, they called it Digital Angel. That's what they called it. And they advertised it, and I found some archived websites that had the original marketing plan for the Digital Angel, the original RFID chip that they had talked about years ago. I think it's Applied Digital Solutions now is the name of the company. And they may have been bought and sold again. I don't know. But the original company that came up with this, Digital Angel, and I'm going to show this in the Watchman broadcast when we deal with the singularity. They said this will be a connection between the digital world and your soul. That's how they marketed it. That's was really one of the first things to really get my attention back in the late 90s, was how they worded this and the fact that it was a digital angel. And that has all sorts of spiritual ramifications with it. So that was the birthing of it. Let's see what happened here. The connection. Uh-oh, I've lost my connection. Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun. Hang on here. We salvaged it again, during the Pastor Mike online live broadcast. Software crashes, but I think Wirecast, for some reason, is so insistent that it wants to stream, that when our internet goes out, and I have no idea why the internet went out, but for some reason, when Wirecast crashes, or when the internet goes out, Wirecast is constantly trying to reconnect, and I can't make it stop. And I'm going, make it stop, and it won't stop. So it crashes the software. Then I got to get down and I got to change plugs to get a different internet connection. And so finally we are back online, and I'm going to finish this story if it kills everybody in this room. Anyway, let me read this thing. Remember, we were talking about Digital Angel. We were talking about the microchip implant, and this guy actually went and got implanted for one reason at a tattoo parlor. He got implanted so that he could interact with his iPhone. Ben Slater had a radio frequency identification microchip, which has similar measurements to a grain of rice, injected into his left hand through a syringe 2 weeks ago at a Melbourne tattoo parlor. The advertising director's move comes as he's an ad director. This is a marketing guy. I want you to think about that. Think about false prophet getting people to think a certain way. And this guy is a marketing expert, advertising executive. The advertising director's move comes as technology enthusiasts eagerly await the unveiling of the iPhone 6 in 2 days' time. He hopes the new generation of Apple's smartphone will have the capability to read the microchip implanted in the webbing between his thumb and forefinger. The new addition to his body means Mr. Slater can swing his front door open, switch on his lights, and store personal information with the flick of his hand. The most obvious thing the chip allows me to do is store my contact information on it so that I can just touch a phone with NFC. Do you know what that is? That is, I'm going to show you on mine. I have NFC. Where is it? I have it somewhere. NFC stands for Near Field Communication. Let's see if I can show that here. Yeah, here we go. It's there. If you have an iOS phone, no, or an Android, this is an Android. NFC, allow data exchange when device touches another device. NFC is the technology that allows someone to pay for something with their phone, whether it's an iPhone or whether it's an Android device, which is what this is. NFC is what gives these phone, gives you the ability to pay for things. And here's what's going on. You say, you get one of the microchips in my hand. I'm not going to have that. That's the mark of the beast right there. I'll tell you that. Here's what you do. You get set up with a payment system on your phone. And it's real easy to do. And to be honest with you, it's very tempting. It's very tempting. If you like technology, like I love technology. I love technology. I'm using technology right now. It's very tempting to put your ability to buy and sell using your technology. It's very tempting to do that. And so you're starting to see people check out at the gas station, the grocery store, the Walmart Supercenter, Sam's, Costco. I saw a guy buying coffee at Starbucks. He was up ahead of me, and I had my money ready, my cash ready. And he had his phone. And he pulls up and orders the coffee, and he goes, chink, like that, and he pays for it. And I'm going, that's really cool. I want that. I want to do that. Near-field communication. That's what you're starting to see. Pull it up on your phone. Here's how I did it. I went to, on Android, you go to the little cog, which is settings, and under connections, look for NFC. I see mine is on, although I don't remember turning it on. I think it's on by default on this Samsung phone. But that's what that is. So now he doesn't have to use his phone for near field communication information exchange. He doesn't have to use his phone. It's in the palm of his hand. So, the most obvious thing the chip allows me to do is store my contact information on it so that I can just touch a phone with NFC and pass my information to their phone. That is a great party trick, he told Daily Mail Australia. But it can also trigger an action on my phone to turn the house lights off, open a secure door, which is set to recognize the chip, or I could and probably will set up my car ignition to be linked to the chip for keyless entry and startup. I have a car with keyless entry on it. I don't put a key in the ignition and turn it on anymore. I don't have to do that. I carry the keys in my pocket, and I just get in my car, and I push the button, and the car comes on. Now, not everybody can do that, okay? You guys cannot go to my car and push the button and start my car. You know why? They don't have the key fob that I have with NFC, near field communication. only I have that. Now, if they were to, while I'm on camera, club me in the back of the head, rifle through my pockets, get my keys, go outside and push the button on my car, then it would work. So let's think about this for a minute. How would you sell people a device that would go into your skin? How would you do that? You would say, you know, if someone stole your key fob, they could steal your car. Oh no, maybe I should have my key fob implanted in my armpit or something like that. Mr. Slater said the procedure to implant the microchip was painful, but it was over quickly. I wonder how painful it was. I just needed to be really careful when it was healing over the course of the 2 weeks later so that I didn't move it. Otherwise, it could have traveled in my hand, he said, unquote. The microchip implant may still be new to Australian shores, but has become a growing trend in the United States after it was introduced in 2004 when the nation's Food and Drug Administration gave the green light for its use to carry information about people's medical conditions, according to the Sydney Morning Herald. Now, remember this. Remember this. Think about this. Think about how all of these things now are working in conjunction and coordination together. You have the bank bailout bill. Back in, 2009, the emergency bailout the rich bankers so they don't lose any money bill that was jammed down all these congressmen's throat and inserted into that bill, having no relation to it whatsoever, inserted into that bill was a law, and we're still not. Hang on 1 second. I know we got a problem here. I am going to ease up our. There we go. That fixed it. All right, I got you. We're trying to send out too much stream on a lesser internet connection. But anyway, in the 2009 bank bailout bill, they jammed this in there, made all these congressmen vote for it. President signs off on it. And it basically has this hidden clause in there that has to do with the digitizing of everybody's medical records. Why? Why does this law or this special idea have to be put into this bill? Why not just have it as its own bill? Because people would hear about it. And they would throw a fit and they would say, that's not what we the people want. So they didn't offer it to we the people. They created this banking catastrophe, decided to bail out the rich, wealthy bankers who, if they lost $1.5 billion, it wouldn't make them lose sleep tonight. But we bail out these banks and we had this special bill jammed down these congressmen's throat telling them, if you don't vote in this bill, there's going to be riots in the streets if you don't pass this bill. So they're going, well, we don't want riots in the streets. So yeah, where do I sign? And they pass this bill and inside this thing is this medical records thing. Now all the medical records all over the country are now in a database, a common linked database. And you and I both know that there isn't a database on the planet that is private, that is reserved only for what its intended use is. There, that does not exist. All of your medical records, every bad thing that ever happened to you is now in that database. And anybody who wants to can apply and get permission to go look at it. Anybody. And so now they have all the information digitized. It's all in a database. And so now I want you to look at the crises that we have going right now. Or is it crises? Crises. Had to ask California people how to talk. Now we have this crisis of our borders and all of these, you know what, I'm going to use the term illegal people coming into our country illegally. They're breaking the law coming into our country. And so we have all these people coming into our country illegally, and our government is waiting for the boiling point. And when the boiling point reaches, then the powers that be are going to say, look at here, we've got a bill that we can fix this problem. We have a bill now. And what this bill will do is that it will give a special biometric identity card to everybody who is an American citizen. That's so we know that you have a right to work in this country or not. See, buy and sell. Buy and sell. Whereas before, nobody in America wants a national identity card, especially a biometric one. But here in the near future, most Americans are going to beg for it. See the cause? They cause it to happen that way. And that's exactly how I think it's going to happen. So now we have this biometric based. When I left the United States of America and went to Kenya, this is something new. If I remember right, I don't remember having to do this 3 years ago. When I crossed into the nation of Kenya and when I came back in Detroit, when we landed from Amsterdam in Detroit, that's your port of entry. You have to go through customs before you can get to your next plane in Detroit. And so I have my passport, and I put it in the scanner, and it scans the special markings on my passport to make sure it's legitimate. And before I can go, before they approve it, I have to take my four fingers and lay them down on a scanner so they can scan my fingerprints. That's biometrics. They're measuring my biology, my unique biology. So already, in order to go preach to Kenya and come back, I have to have a biometric scan done to prove that it's me. Now, here's the hypocrisy of all of this. The hypocrisy is, before I can set foot on foreign soil and come back to a country that I was born in, that I have rights in, I have to go through these turnstiles and walk up and down these little gates, and I have to show my ID and my papers, and I have to open my luggage, and I have to put my fingerprints down on the scanner so they know that it's me before I can come back into my own country. And how many thousands of people are walking into this nation right now that don't have to do jack when they cross the border? In fact, when they get here, our government wants to throw them an employment party. Here, we've got jobs for you. Fill out these papers. Your kids get free schooling and free health care. Don't speak English? Don't worry about it. You don't have to now. You don't know anything about America and its laws? Don't worry about it. We're going to change them all for you anyway. That's what's going on. The people with the rights in this country are becoming the criminals, while the criminals are marching across our border. And yes, I said criminal. You know why? Because they're committing a crime just by walking across our border into this country. They have committed a crime to get here. But our nation doesn't regard them that way. But I don't want to say I guarantee you, but I am reasonably sure that all of these crises whether it's ISIS, which is not an Islamic conglomerate. They're not Islam whatsoever. Our president said so, and you can count on him. They're not Islamic. ISIS, the border problems. Are we done with Ebola? I don't think so. And here, I don't understand this. Why are we sending 3,000 men to fight Ebola? And we won't send any men into Iraq to get rid of ISIS. What? I don't understand that. Maybe it's why I'll never be president. But there is a lot of things in this world right now, people, that are not right. And they're not right for a reason. They are intended to bring chaos. Because out of chaos comes order, control. And that's where we're going. So the marketing specialist in Australia makes big headlines all over the world because he put a microchip in his hand, and now he's able to connect with the digital world, and simply by the wave of his hand, all sorts of events begin to take place now because he used, and I want you to think about this. The magic of 100 years ago is the technology now. If a guy 100 years ago waves his hand and doors open, that's magic. He's practicing witchcraft. He's a sorcerer. He's a wizard. Today, he's just a guy that got a chip in his hand, and the magic is all in the technology. And the false prophet is causing all of this to take place, causing people to accept the technology, to accept the images and the logos and the sixes everywhere and the hive mentality. There is an article here, and I know that I'm sort of running out of time. It took us about 5 or 6 minutes to get back online. But here is, and I may deal more with some of this next week, so I'm going to save this article. This is the Journey Church up in Ottawa. And I want you to notice, this is what's interesting. I'm going to show you this high-tech graphic, black and white. I want you to notice that in the word journey, the letters O-U-R are highlighted. That means hour. Now, here's why that sticks out. It's because here the pastor writes a blog here, says, from radical individualism to community. And this article, like again, I may deal with this a little bit next week. I've dealt with the whole idea of community before, communism, communalism, communitarianism, the idea that we cannot think separately anymore. That's not good for all of us. We must all be part of the collective, the community. And here he uses the illustration of what he constantly refers to as the Trinity. Now, the King James Bible does not use that term. It uses Godhead. And I think I'm beginning to think that there's a difference between the Godhead and a Trinity. Because I can tell you that Isis and Osiris and Horus make a Trinity. I can also tell you that the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet make a Trinity. But they are not the Godhead. And so, and like I say, I don't have proof yet. But I'm beginning to think the idea of a Trinity is not the same as the biblical term Godhead. Because he uses in here the term, the idea of a Trinity. He says, our sermon last week was from radical individualism to community. becoming a people that live the way of Jesus, together in community. As I was preparing, I was gripped by John 17, that God has always existed not as a solitary individual, but as a divine community. Did you catch that? And here's what, and at the end of the article, he says, let me say it this way. He said, anybody who loves the idea of community more than the people in it have an idol that, if not destroyed, will hurt the very community it desires. If in the Trinity we see this beautiful giving and receiving of love, trust, blessing, strength, passion, whatever, and only as we embrace the otherness of community will we find the beautiful mess that we call church. So he's basically saying that in the Trinity, God doesn't exist as a separate entity. That's all about the community. So therefore, we must, in order to be aligned with the Trinity, we must constantly be thinking of the community rather than the individual. And you think, yeah, man, that's like really how God is. You know, that's cool. You know, that just makes us all together. I mean, aren't we all together? Shouldn't we be together? Shouldn't we be one? And I want you to think about how the Bolsheviks took over Russia, how Mao Zedong took over China, how Fidel Castro took over Cuba. You cannot bring in a communist government by making everybody think of individuality. You must get them to think of the collective, or it won't work. The cause. You must cause them to believe that they can no longer be individuals saved alone. That they must be the collective, or it won't work. And I will probably get into, I have several other things I wanted to get into today, and we have just, we're on California time. It just takes forever to get anything done. But anyway, you just kind of ponder all that. The cause is taking place right now. People are being caused to join together, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, the collective, the hive, to head down the cattle gate. It's good to be with you today. Don't have any time for taking emails. Don't be offended by that. Please send some more. Next week, we'll see on Tuesday, the Watchman video broadcast coming this weekend, The Falling, Part 2, dealing with fallen angels. Sunday morning service being streamed live to the area of Samburu, Kenya, out in the streets where people will be walking up and down, and hopefully they'll hear the gospel message. You'll be praying for that. We'll see you next time. Wave to the California people. Bye-bye.